This podcast contains adult language. Thank you, Richard Sherman, for bringing us in. This is DigitalDarren.com. Today is January 23rd, 2014. This is our Mega Super Bowl edition podcast, which may be more than one part, depending on how long it goes. With me, I got Double R and Calhoun. People, what's good?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, we're back in the building one more time.
Yeah, to the fans, we apologize for keeping you guys in the dark so long with the playoffs. Me and Double R did the opening round of the playoffs, and it's completely my fault that we didn't do more of the playoffs. So I apologize for that. The guys wanted to. It just was my fault. So let's start with, as you heard coming into the podcast, we played the Richard Sherman interview for you guys. Everybody has an opinion on it. So to start out, what are you guys' opinion?
I have no problem with it.
I want to say first off,
talk it, you back it up. So it's a different when you're talking junk and you looking like a scrub out there.
I want to say first off to any of the other podcasts, they some mediocre podcast. Don't you ever try Digital Darren podcast. We the greatest podcast around here. The greatest. Don't ever try. Whoever talking, don't ever try us. With that being said, I love the passion. And that's something that it seems every white collar, stick up the ass, old fart trying to take out of every sport. And I think that's really hindering the sports. You remember when basketball used to be just so full of passion when they used to get in each other's face? But you remember when it was like, you know, when the Knicks was going against the Bulls and the Pacers was going against the Knicks. When it was, you know, brawls, the Knicks was a violent ass team, ain't it? The Knicks against the Heat. So
when Jeff Van Gundy was
and before it was all these technical and flagrant foul for breathing on the motherfucker when you can hand check. So I love the passion that he displayed, and I think it needs to be displayed. If we had one dog like that in the locker room at the Atlanta Falcons, we would have went further. We don't have nothing but some kittens. We need a dog. And I like how Richard Sherman did it.
I think you said the key word in all that is passion. He should, first off, when he spoke with passion. He spoke from the heart. And we just need more of that in the world today. Not just from athletes, but from everybody. Nowadays, everybody's on that corporate, hey, this person is. Even if you did somebody, you respectfully, you know, down the person. And sometimes you just have to say, I'm the best. You have to believe in yourself and keep that in. And athletes go to classes where they answer questions where, like, Michael Crabtree's a great receiver. I just was blessed to make the player. You know, I worked hard and, you know, it paid off. But I can't take nothing away from Crabtree in San Francisco. That would be the normal response. And he said, to hell with the normal response. I'm going to speak my heart. And it's just like musicians who speak from, hey, this is the play to get you A, B, and C. To, hey, fuck that, I'm going to talk about my life for real and see where it go. You know what I'm saying? And so, I just think he broke code, and I wish more would do it. So, that would be my thing. One of the interesting things about it is, like, the social media response and just response in general that people attacked him.
America shows its racist head. It rears its racist head again. He said something in a press conference, and they called him thug, and he said, thug is a new word for nigga. That's what they're throwing around. How do you call a Stanford graduate with a 3.9 GPA and a millionaire thug? It doesn't even make sense, does it?
It doesn't even go together. Like you said, he's the furthest thing from a thug, which I can completely
agree. White America, and I'm not talking about white people who's in America. I'm talking about white America. They saw that ass Aaron Andrews, like, oh my God, he's yelling. And she had to let, she can't handle it. What they should have did was get that wolf-haired bitch Pam Oliver on the scene with that fucking turbine hair. And what she would have did was just, hey, good interview. But a lot of people going off of even the reaction of Aaron Andrews, which is an idiot on her part. You're down here on the field. There's going to be some passions. You've been watching a violent game all day. And not because someone get loud, just shook a little bit. I think it's pathetic. And that's the first thing these motherfuckers do. First thing they do, soon as someone yells, talks a little loud, someone seems a little aggressive, he didn't curse, there was no kind of vulgarity in his language, but as soon as it's a little high-pitched, the first thing they do is say, whoa, this is loose, or whoa, be careful, Aaron, don't let him get you. You know, it's just pathetic, I think. And it's all just passion.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about him coming back and apologizing?
Seems like it's just a protocol for being able to speak your mind. It's amazing you had a freedom of speech, but really is your speech free? Mm-hmm. So what would have happened is it was just unnecessary and everyone overreacted. I don't think he should have apologized. There was no reason for him to apologize. He did nothing wrong.
Did anybody find him?
No, but you know it would have probably came with it.
You think Goodell would have fined him for that?
Goodell will fine you for not having your shoes laced up on the field properly. So, yeah. Because if enough hoopla comes about, then action is taken, right? So a lot of times it's not even right. A lot of times it's not even, you don't even have to, but if there's enough voices making enough noise, then somebody's going to act. Most of the time it's premature.
That's a good point. So let's leave from that. And just talk about the games on Sunday in general. What did you think about? Let's start with, since we talk about Seattle, San Francisco, let's go on and start about that game. Did you see that game?
I saw a good bit of it.
Okay. What did you think about it?
It led up to his billing. I like that fourth down play.
Pete Carroll play.
You see, when we was here earlier, and we was watching the game, it was the Broncos. It was like fourth and so. You're like, John Fox, go for it. And I said, he don't have the balls.
Yeah.
They took it during the surgery. You see the difference? See how aggressive Pete Carroll is?
Yeah.
That shit is amazing. Fourth and what was it? Fourth and three?
It was like five or seven.
Yeah, because it was the offside and it would have been fourth and two.
Yeah.
So fourth and seven, you get the offside, or fourth and six, you get the offsides. Not only do you get the free play, but you get the touchdown. That's just amazing, man. I love it. They play hard. I'm happy for all of the real Seattle Seahawks fans. Now, of course, you got a lot of niggas who ain't been outside College Park. Now, Seahawks fan.
That happened once when they played the Falcons. I remember I was college.
Coming out of the woodwork.
I said, I didn't even know this many black people live in Seattle, let alone Seahawks fans.
Tell them to point out on the map.
They're going to point to D.C.
point out. Oh, yeah, it's in Washington, right by the president house. Where is it? That's where the stadium at. I'm telling you. Oh. But I think it was well overdue. I think they were due for it, and I love the way they play. They cheat.
And you've always been one of the guys who, like, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. That's always been your mantra.
You got to do it. It's not my mantra. I got it from But if you're not cheating, you ain't trying. You got to, at any means necessary.
Who said that?
The greatest. Malcolm X, by any means necessary. That was the greatest, Malcolm X. I know the rest of you like Martin Luther King. I'm not for that, though. I'll get in that later.
We'll have a podcast about that one day. Maybe during Black History Month.
Oh.
Your birth month.
I welcome it.
So, anyway, any more you want to say about the San Francisco Seattle game?
It was a game that you thought was going to be. What about the play of Navarro Bowman?
Tilly to his ACL, he was a man's man.
A man's man.
Yeah.
Because you cried like a bitch when you told yours.
No, I didn't. You weren't even out there when I told mine.
I was.
No, you weren't.
I'm the one who helped you off the field.
I didn't cry. I said, my knee. And I went to the ground.
he
did the same thing, guys.
Nah, he was out there like that. You was out there like, oh, somebody please.
All right, this is how we're going to play it today.
I tore my MCL. I went back and played the second game.
That's an MCL, not an ACL.
My ligament.
Yeah, you sound like one of them dudes who's going to point out Seattle and Washington, D.C. Yeah, so, all right. Where do the 49ers go from here? Let's focus on the losers because we'll talk about the winners later on.
Not too much to go from here. You got great coaching staff. You got a good team. This wasn't your day.
But it seems like they can't beat this one team. This one team is going to be around for a while.
I mean, it just was Seattle's year. They beat them last year. It was just this year was their year.
They didn't beat Seattle last year. Not in the playoffs.
They didn't play Seattle in the playoffs.
We beat Seattle.
They didn't play Seattle.
In the playoffs. But I'm saying like this. Tyler Kirkland is 1-4 against Seattle, right?
Okay.
And so it just seems like this is the hardest hump for the 49ers to get over.
Well, let's be honest. Seattle got what it's almost a mirror of each other. Just your day is your day. You got two mulatto mobile quarterbacks, right? Both of them paper bag passing. You have a
what's paper, what you said? They pass the paper bag too.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
So do I. And then you have two stout defenses, Seattle on the back end, San Francisco on the front end, good running game. San Francisco even have better wide receivers. So it's just, your day is your day, and when it's not.
So you don't think San Francisco need to make any type of changes?
What changes do you think?
I mean, are you sure Colin Kaepernick is the guy? Because if he can't beat this one team, and this one team is what's holding you up into going and winning the Super Bowl.
I know good and well you're not talking about getting rid of Colin Kaepernick.
I'm just throwing it out, though.
You can keep throwing it. No, that's not the answer.
He couldn't pass. He only had 140 passing yards.
You want Alex Smith instead?
We not talking about going back to the past. We're just saying, do you need somebody who's a better passer?
Who?
Matt Schaub. You like Matt Schaub.
Not over Colin Kaepernick. Okay. No, I think you're set. Colin Kaepernick is more than decent. He's a pretty good quarterback. He can make a lot of things happen. He's this new age quarterback of Cam and RG3 and all them. But no, you don't touch that. Russell Wilson, you don't touch that. Look at this.
So, Double R, where does San Francisco go from here? Since they lost the game, where does San Francisco go from here? What do they need to make any changes?
Yeah, I think for one, I think he over the hill now. You know, start letting them young boys play. That's for one. And you probably gonna have to. They probably have to get another receiver. So
how they don't need any more receivers, Rashard. Crabtree
and Anquan to be out of there.
But you got Anquan Boldin, you have Crabtree, and you have Vernon Davis.
Well, they signed Anquan Boldin for 1 year, didn't
he? I don't know.
I think he for 1 year. If you don't re-sign him, who you gonna get?
You still have Crabtree. Do they have Manningham still?
That's it. You only got Anquan Boldin Lee. You only have Crabtree and Vernon Davis.
Nah, they still don't. They have Manningham still.
Manningham playing Purdue. He out of there. He gone. I know he gone this year.
They didn't even use him that much this year. Did
he was hurt, wasn't he? Didn't he get hurt?
No, he just couldn't crack the field.
Yeah. What about Colin Kaepernick? Do you think he's the man for the job? Since it seems like Seattle is the team he can't beat, would you stick with him or would you go somewhere else?
Stick with him. Like that game there could have went either way. He still had a chance to win it.
Yeah.
So it was in that game. It wasn't about offense. It was defense. Both of them had good defense. Their defense kept in both of them in the game.
I think I have to agree with Rashard with the Frank goal because at first I said I don't think San Francisco should change the thing, but Frank Gore, maybe he's a 30-year-old running back, and that's like dog years.
Yeah.
So maybe Frank Gore, but the rest of that team, I think you keep solid, man. That team is good from top to bottom.
Like, you're going to have to take a lesser role because you got them young boys, Lattimore, who they got, LaMarcus James, they got some more guys.
The boy who got hurt. Didn't they get the boy who get hurt?
Lattimore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he ain't play. So a lot of these boys going to be coming in this year ready to play. So what do you do with Frank Gore?
Mentor, man.
Yeah.
You're about to be the mentor.
But do you think he take that role, though?
Yeah, who the fuck is Frank Gore? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Gore's not Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster, nobody.
Yeah, but he was good in his day. Now I can't. He been productive. Just I think he getting old, so wear and tear on your body. You're not the same no more.
Yeah, especially after Kaepernick took that shot at him.
What Kaepernick said?
We'd like to get him more involved if he can stay on the field. We'd like to get him more involved if he can stay on the field.
That was a backhanded compliment one.
Yeah, I mean, because he takes himself out a lot. So that's what he was saying. That's a shot. It's not a backhanded compliment. That's a shot. Like, keep your muck ass on the field. We need you.
Colin Kaepernick got a lot of mouth to be a mulatto.
And a lot of nose, too. He'll probably get it trickle down.
Yeah.
Well, Kaepernick, he can't really say too much. He was straight, but he really cost that game, to be honest.
And to be honest, that was just a great game.
It was just a great game. You're right.
The better team at the time won, but that can go either way with them teams. They had a 4-for-7 play that went for a touchdown. And there was like 3 defenders there because they both ran outs. It was an all-out play. Everybody ran the out. The receivers wasn't 6 yards from each other. It was just a great play.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's your day.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, we talked about Seattle. We talked about Richard Sherman. Let's transition over to the first game, the Patriots and the Broncos. What were your thoughts on that game, Double R?
It's Peyton Manning year. He had a type of game like it was his type of year. And I salute Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. I didn't expect y'all to come this far. Y'all did good for what you had. You just ran up on a better offensive team. You ran up on Peyton Manning, who had more offensive threat than you boys can handle.
Why are people saluting Belichick and Brady? They got their ass handed to them. That game could have easily been 40.
Should not even been now.
Yeah, that game could have easily been 40 something to 10.
They should not even been there.
But it's almost the war of attrition, right? Who should have been there besides them?
The AFC sucked.
That's the point. Like who?
Look at that team. Like who the hell?
But name another team in the AFC who you say. By the way, they played this year. You could have seen them beating the Patriots or the Broncos.
Maybe the Bengals, if they would have been healthy.
Do you trust Andy Dalton on the road?
I really
don't. They're gonna have to be. They ain't make the playoffs, but I could have seen Pittsburgh getting in there and doing it.
I could a little bit. That's the kryptonite both of them. I'm gonna tell you who else. Who never done it? My guy. I was rooting for Phillip Rivers to do it, and they gave him a run.
Somebody could have went in there.
And they took the ball away from him in the first half. Phillip Rivers could have did it. Because they would have went past Denver. They would have damn sure beat New England. New England had shit this year.
My point is Denver is the best team in the AFC.
And the shit out of the coach, which I see them not losing to, because Brady, certain quarterbacks not going to beat him.
Yeah, I mean, Brady is Brady, but the point I'm making is that outside of the Broncos, everybody else can be lumped up into the same. So, Saloon, Belichick, and Brady just being the best of everybody else. You know
best
what I'm saying?
Of the average.
Yeah, the best of the average. I don't really see that. You know what I'm saying?
They ain't really supposed to be up there in that category, to be honest.
But that my point is, name somebody in the AFC who should have been.
The AFC was in the hole.
Yeah, like y'all saying.
They didn't have nobody. Like, everybody should like Kansas City. I would have thought they would have, and they would have ran into Belichick. Now I would have picked them over Belichick. Like,
oh no, you
was like, more team and more talent level.
You was sipping that Kansas City Kool-Aid. Oh, I knew they wasn't shit.
I'm looking at the talent level.
But see, I think that's the part that people don't realize. The Patriots may not have the talent on the field, but their talent on the sidelines is top notch.
Is unparalleled.
Exactly. You're not gonna out coach them. Point blank, period. You know what I'm saying? So, I couldn't see Andy Reid going to Foxborough and beating the Patriots.
Hell no.
I couldn't see nobody but maybe Denver going to Foxborough and beating the Patriots.
And it's only because of Manica. John Fox can't beat
them. Exactly. Fox will coach them to a loss quicker than he'll coach them to a win. So.
Yeah, but you still
got
to salute them Patriots, though, at the end of the day.
I'm not saluting them for shit. They haven't done shit.
But to make it to the AFC Championship game with absolutely nothing, you got one motherfucker. Your key players. One is in jail. One has been hurt all year. One is playing against the team. You're playing against them in Denver. I mean, what they got? What do they have?
I guess the point I'm saying is, you can substitute the Patriots with about three or four other teams. There's no difference between them. And like you say, it's just saloon. Somebody had to, they're blessed by playing in a weaker division, right? So they already get the bye off of that for the most part.
With the division and conference.
With the division and the conference. So I'm just not giving them props because I haven't seen them do anything super spectacular. It's not like they won in a stacked conference or something. I mean, they won in a shitty conference and a shitty division. So that's why I get lost in the salute the Patriots movement.
Here's a side question.
Like they in a shitty division, but you ain't supposed to. Somebody's supposed to be slacking them. Like, you didn't supposed to be number two.
Here's the question I have, both of you. Just a sideways question. Do you think at some point, it's been done within the last 15 years, do you think it's about time again to reshuffle this deck?
What you mean?
Because the AFC is really pathetic. Like, all of the powerhouse teams shouldn't be in the NFC.
But just 5 years ago, we were saying the NFC was pathetic. So.
And they reshuffled.
But now, Calhoun, when the regime changed. But, you think about it.
AFC been shitty for a long time.
Not really, because just 5 years ago, the AFC with a power division.
Yeah, they were winning the NFC been winning shit.
I mean, not even Super Bowl. You got to think. You normally had three teams you can count on the AFC. Whoever Manning was with, Pittsburgh and the Patriots. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, Pittsburgh has been down. The Patriots are and you don't really have
that. What I'm saying. It needs to be shuffled up for that. Even these.
Nah, they're going to come back. Team like. Pittsburgh and the Patriots, they'll plug it. They'll get a good young boy and they right back in and pull up a couple third or fourth round defensive players. They right back in it.
Think about it like this. Since about 99, 2000, it's only been the Patriots, Peyton Manning, and Pittsburgh going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That needs to be reshuffled, you don't think?
You keep saying reshuffle. What do you mean when you say reshuffle?
Well, the way they did it before, changing up the conferences, changing up the divisions.
But you don't want to do that because you have rivalries and established rivalries for years, right?
Yeah.
Like you have Denver.
The Bears and Green Bay.
Yeah, but even on the, we could just focus on AFC only. You have Denver, Kansas City, Denver, the Raiders, Kansas City, the Raiders. You have.
Who's New England rival?
Pittsburgh and the Browns. New England's rival, you got to think, back in the 90s, the Bills ran that conference. Even though they haven't been shit since. I would say the Jets are New England's rival.
Only because Rex running off at the fucking mouth.
But they're right by each other, too. It's the whole Boston versus New York thing.
Man, change that shit up.
So how would you do it, then? How would you change it?
No, I won't take away from the podcast because we're talking about something different. But I would definitely change it up. For one, I'd take Miami out of the division anyway. What the fuck are they doing in the up north division? They should be in the AFC South.
So who would you put in the NFC?
Right, Indianapolis.
But they're not an East Coast team.
Yeah, but.
If you're going to take a team, you have to take Baltimore.
Well, then I put Baltimore there and then put the Colts up there. And then put Miami in the South. Because Miami need to be playing the South anyway.
Yeah.
So what you saying, Miami, Houston?
Yeah, they
Miami,
be
Houston, Tennessee, Jacksonville.
Yeah. Geographically, that makes more
that's
sense.
That's the move. And then you're right. Yeah. Put Baltimore over there because they're in the East Coast. And then put Indy right there.
In the Central.
Right.
Yeah. Geographically, those are the ones that makes the most sense.
And that's enough of a little. You know, enough of a little shift to get, because now with Miami there, now you got a team full of shitty teams. Division full of them. And I think it evens out. You put Baltimore there with Tom Brady to face twice a year.
But then you lose the Baltimore-Pittsburgh rivalry.
No, because then you always schedule that in.
But they play two times a year, then they go from two times to one time.
That rivalry ain't been around the whole time. Shit, Baltimore just came into effect in 96.
You're right. I'm just throwing out ideas.
It's not like the Browns and the Steelers when they're heyday. That was a real old school, you know. That's different.
All right. Any more thoughts? This is going to be more than one part, looks like.
Good. We've been fiending. The people been fiending for a digital daring class. We got Rashard over here. Ain't that right, Double R?
Well, you see, throwing back your shotgun.
All right. So, thank y'all for listening to this part one of our Super Bowl Preview Mega Podcast. Thank you for listening. This is DigitalDarren.com. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And make sure to listen to part two.
Turn up!
Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best one in the game. When you try me with a star and a saber like Crabtree, that's the result you won't get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth, bro.